So a climate safe room is about building resilience to extreme weather. And the whole concept is that there's a section of our community that are really vulnerable to those heat wave days and the extreme cold that we get at the peak of summer and the peak of winter.
Yes, that is Dan Cowdell, the CEO of Geelong Sustainability, talking about the group's innovative and award-winning project, Climate Safe Rooms. Welcome to this latest episode of Climate Conversations. I am your host, Robert McLean. This podcast is assembled here in Shepparton, in northern Victoria, Australia, on the lands of the Yorta Yorta people. Yes, the stolen lands of the Yorta Yorta people. I pay my respects to their elders, past, present and emerging. Let's listen now to that conversation I had just this week with Dan Cowdell from Geelong Sustainability about their new project, well, not their new project, but their award-winning project, Climate Safe Rooms. Now, you're the CEO of Geelong Sustainability. Can you tell me something about the group, like how many members you've got and how old is it and what are your goals, those sorts of things?
We actually started in 2007, so it was a grassroots effort to take action on climate change. And since then, we've just evolved year on year and I think got a bit more ambitious as we go. We've got 250 financial members and a broader sort of supporter base of people subscribed to our newsletter and following us on social media of just about 20,000 now. So it's quite a great reach. Yeah, for a tiny group, it's excellent.
So do you meet once a month or how's that work?
Yeah, so we've got a board of management approach that sort of governs the organisation, and they meet monthly. And then we have a team of staff that deliver the most of the projects and work with a number of volunteers throughout the year on different events as well. And yeah, we've just about normally have an event once a month on different topics, so it sort of changes. But yeah, the breadth of sustainability is so wide, so everything from how to electrify your home or how to make your home efficient right up to circular economy and climate advocacy in action as well.
So you joined me, Dan, to talk about Climate Safe Rooms. So can you tell me a little about that? Like what are they really about?
So a climate safe room is about building resilience to extreme weather. And the whole concept is that there's a section of our community that are really vulnerable to those heat wave days and the extreme cold that we get at the peak of summer and the peak of winter. So what we set out to do with the Climate Safe Rooms project was upgrade one room in the home so that it was able to be made comfortable year round. And so there is that place to sort of be able to retreat into, if you like, so you can stay comfortable and stay healthy.
When you say you upgrade the room, like what do you actually do?
So the upgrade was pretty comprehensive. So first we did an energy audit of the home and worked out which room might be most suitable. And for the most of the homes, it's the lounge room or the kitchen dining area. So it's sort of the space where you spend most of the time during the day. And then through that audit, we were able to identify with some modelling of energy efficiency data, what sort of upgrades would have the best impact. And it's things like putting extra insulation in the roof, doing some draft proofing around windows and doors to make the room more airtight. And then we couple that up with an efficient split system air conditioner. So you're able to run that on for heating or cooling, and a small solar system that's able to generate the electricity to cover the energy use needed for that split system. So that was a really important point because we wanted to make sure that the participants of the program felt like they could turn that on and that it wasn't going to cost them a fortune. So having the solar there was really important.
Where did the idea come from, Dan?
Oh, so it was actually originated from a past committee member and volunteer of ours, Tim Adams, he's been a architect and building designer for over 40 years. And we started, he sort of initiated this idea and started talking to a few people about it. And we happened to have a round table event that was part of a state government grant round that they were doing. And he just began socialising the idea of a climate safe room and the concept of why don't we just upgrade one room rather than doing the whole house, which can be really costly and really challenging. And it was really interesting. The more people we talked to about it, the more people were like, yes, let's do this. Let's get a trial off the ground.
So there was no trouble getting it going.
No, we were quite lucky, actually. It just coincided with having a state government funding round here in Victoria through the Victorian Climate Change Innovation Grants and getting the right stakeholders on board. So it ended up being a partnership between Geelong Sustainability, the CSIRO, who brought a raft of research and smart sensors to be able to monitor the outcomes, and then the City of Greater Geelong, who were helping connect us to vulnerable residents across the region. And then the other partners were EcoMaster, who are a retrofitting company, and Uniting, who do a whole lot around engaging with vulnerable households and helping bring up their knowledge base around how to save money and run the home efficiently.
Dan, I was going to ask you, how was the idea financially supported?
Yeah, so through grants. So the
is that state people, government money?
State government money, and yeah, we were really mindful that the community that we're working with, they just don't have the funding to be able to put money into the home themselves. So this project wouldn't have happened if we were asking them to contribute towards the program. So the grant funding actually was able to pay for all of the costs to upgrade the home.
So there's no cost to the homeowner at all?
No, correct. Correct. Oh, wow. So yeah, in the trial we did of 16 homes, no cost in that. And in the process of that trial, we were able to learn a lot about the approach and come out the end with a good amount of research that helps us now look at how we can increase and scale it up.
So I was going to ask you about the benefits you've seen that have actually been measured from the whole project.
Oh, so it's quite vast, actually. I always knew that by upgrading homes and making them more energy efficient, there'd be reductions in energy costs. Like that was sort of of course. But the improvements that we've been able to realise in just overall comfort in the home from the participants has been just really fantastic. So just without them switching on the air conditioner, just the increases in comfort in summer and winter, just by adding that extra bit of insulation around the home has made a big impact. So that's one area. So just able to feel a lot more at ease, which of course then has a resulting health benefit as well, because you're more comfortable. Most of our participants in this trial had chronic health conditions. So in the heat in particular and in the cold, that puts a lot more of a toll on the respiratory system and on the body in general. So we had a whole raft of reported improvements in health and well-being, both in physical health but also mental health as well.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the energy bill savings, which I alluded to earlier. So the home's running more efficiently, but then the solar system as well, that's generating clean energy that's then being sent back out onto the grid. So the participants are getting a credit on their bill, or throughout summer, most of the participants had very close to a $0 electricity bill, which was fantastic.
So what's been the local response to the idea?
Oh, really positive. So when we first started, like I said, the interest from other like-minded organisations was really high. I would say we had a little challenge in just getting the word out there to find participants initially, and that was just purely because it sounded like it was an offer that was too good to be true.
Yeah.
You know, you're effectively getting $10,000 worth of home upgrades for nothing by participating. And
so what's the catch?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's a bit of a sad sign of perhaps where people are at. It's just there's so many scams and we've kind of got our guard up to that at the moment. So we had to build quite a bit of trust just initially, and that's where having these partnerships helped a lot. But then just to the outcomes we've been able to achieve, it's been a really positive response. We actually won the Premier's Sustainability Award for the project.
When was that last year?
Yeah, last year in November. So that was a just lovely bit of recognition for the work that had been done and also a platform to be able to share what we did as well a bit more broadly.
I understand you've worked on or done 16 homes. So where do you go from here? What happens now?
Yeah, well, we've got ambition to scale it up. There's huge need, not just in the Geelong community, but right across the state, right across the country. We're working on scaling from that trial up to a project that will do 100 homes locally, and then up to 1,000 homes locally. So we're just at the moment trying to secure funding sources to be able to do that, which we've had some good success through some philanthropic organisations, but not quite enough funding yet to be able to run the project for 100 homes. So we are calling on the government, both state and federal, to fund this sort of work. It's got a direct health impact, so that there's a real reduction in the healthcare costs from doing these sorts of projects, so it really makes good financial sense.
So have you had interest from other people who would like to be part of the project?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got while we were running the trial, we had a register of people on a waiting list. But beyond that, we've actually had a huge amount of other communities reach out to us, so like yourself, but around Victoria, Warrnambool, the other side of Melbourne, out in the east, around Gippsland. So it's just been quite phenomenal, the interest to run similar programs in other communities, which is really encouraging.
So what was the single biggest challenge you had in getting it off the ground?
Oh, that's a really good question, actually. I would say the single biggest challenge is, and you don't really know it until you go and try and do a retrofitting program, they're really complicated in all of the moving parts because there's no one cookie cutter model that you can apply. Every house is slightly different. Everyone's needs are different. So it actually takes quite a lot of project coordination and needs, a dedicated person able to work on that, and if not a dedicated team when you're talking about trying to scale up. So that I would say is, apart from trying to identify funding, it's actually the complexity of delivering energy audits and energy retrofitting, which as a community, as a sector, we actually need to get a lot better at streamlining that and making it a much easier process.
Dan, is there something else you'd like to say about Climate Safe Rooms and the whole project generally?
Oh, I just think, I wouldn't mind sharing maybe one of the stories from one of our participants, because I think it just brings it back to the difference that it can make. And one of our participants, who I'll just mention her first name, Deb, was living in a home where it really had next to no insulation. The actual windows and doors were so drafty. Like you would be in that home in winter, and I've described it as a glorified tent. It really it was not doing a lot to maintain a comfortable temperature. And poor old Deb has chronic lung disease, and her only source of heating was a wood fire. And so what was happening was, let alone the hardship of having to go and try and cart wood in. She would then start up that heater, and the house was so leaky that the smoke would come into the home, and she basically couldn't breathe as a result of it. So would end up, having trips to hospital. And, you know, that's just one story.
So the trip to hospital has sort of stopped largely?
Yeah, well, what we're just being able to give her a sealed home with an option for an efficient electric heater and cooler that she can turn on and not worry about the running costs.
Yeah.
It's just made such an impact to her life. And, you know, I just want to highlight, I think that since we started this project, it's probably got a lot harder out there for folks. You know, energy costs are much higher.
Mm.
The costs of living are much higher. So I think, yeah, more than anything, just wanted to share that to, I think, the need in the community for us to be making sure we don't leave our most vulnerable people behind and provide a good way to really adapt and help people adapt to climate change is so important.
Yeah, there's a really uplifting story on your website, an ABC story, so I'll link to that, I think. So.
Yeah, that'd be great if you can share that.
Well, thank you so much, Dan. That was great. And Dan's agreed to be a virtual guest at a Shepparton Environment Groups meeting in May. I look forward to that.
No, thanks, mate. Thanks for reaching out as well. And
again, thanks, Dan. Now, we've reached the end of this episode of Climate Conversations. Thanks so much for your company. It was great to have you along. Now, I urge you to follow this podcast because if you do that, you'll be alerted every time I publish a new episode. And I'm keen to know what you think about this podcast, and you can contact me via email at r.mclean7@icloud.com. Now, don't hold back, good or bad, tell me what you think. I need to know. Also, I'd urge you to share this with your friends. Put it on your networks. Let people know what's going on with the climate crisis. Let them know about the good work they're doing in Geelong. And so, until we talk again, please take care, stay safe, and please be kind. For everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. Please take care and stay safe.